50 years ago, a curious paper appeared in the journal Science showing that people moved their eyes even when they were fast asleep, and these periods of rapid eye movements, or REM, were associated with dreaming. Thousands of scientific studies have shown that there is more to REM sleep than just dreaming. Before he became a journalist, NPR's Joe Palca conducted some of those studies. He has this report on how REM changed sleep research and his life.
The discovery of REM sleep in 1953 coincided with the year I was born. Before scientists knew about REM, sleep research was pretty much a backwater. Who wanted to study people temporarily dead to the world? But REM changed all that. Something was happening in our brains during the night, and researchers wanted to know what was going on. One of the first to jump into the new field of REM research was William Dement. With support from the National Institutes of Health, Dement began studying REM sleep at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. He worked alone, and of course, at night. The schedule strained his family life, so he came up with a clever idea.
I came across this large apartment, and I thought, I'll pay half the rent with NIH money and set up a lab right there, so I'll be home. I'll be home every night when I run these experiments.
I know those large New York apartments well, because I lived in one myself as a child. Dement was a psychiatrist. He was interested in seeing whether REM sleep was different in psychiatric patients than others. But he was also interested in the basic science of REM, questions like, were the eye movements related to dream content? For those studies, he recruited healthy volunteers willing to spend the night in his home-based lab.
We had a subject who was actually a mathematics graduate student at Columbia. She was in the Rockettes.
You remember them. They're still doing their high-kicking dances at the Radio City Music Hall in New York.
She started recruiting Rockettes to come and be our subjects, and they seemed to have this great dream recall, so that Howie did a lot of that.
Howie is Howard Ruffwarg. He would come over to Dement's apartment on Riverside Drive to conduct the sleep studies. Having Rockettes spend the night in your apartment can cause raised eyebrows, as Ruffwarg remembers.
Yes, it is true that every morning they would leave, you know, kind of in casual clothes. They had come in the evening with their hair and curlers right off the stage, you know, toreador pants and stuff like that. I'd come in looking, I guess, fairly decent, but John, the doorman, noticed that when I left in the morning, I really looked raggedy, as if I had had a very active night.
Ruffwarg says there was no hanky-panky. His studies demonstrated that the eye movements in REM did frequently match the contents of a dream. The tools of sleep research haven't changed all that much in 50 years. Subjects sleep with electrodes attached to their head and around their eyes. The signals from these electrodes go into a machine called a polysomnograph, a more sophisticated version of the EKG machine in doctors' offices. As paper rolls through the machine, pens scratch out the electrical signals that describe sleep, brain waves, muscle activity, and eye movements. That's the sound of the pens on a GRASS Model 8 polysomnograph at the Georgetown University Sleep Lab. Sleep labs abound these days. By watching a patient's sleep patterns, doctors can diagnose a variety of sleep ailments, including sleep apnea, where people have trouble breathing during the night, and narcolepsy, where people fall asleep spontaneously. For each patient, technician Peter Jelaskov needs to know exactly what kind of pen scratchings are caused by what kind of eye movement. So before he lets his subject sleep, he punches the intercom button to give her instructions.
Without turning your head, just with your eyes, look to the left, to the right, now look up, and look down.
Jelaskov marks each movement on the chart paper with a wax pencil. The first sleep lab I ever saw was in a far less grand setting, but it set the course of my life for more than a decade. In the late 60s, Dement had moved to Stanford University in California. He was the faculty resident in a dorm called Cedro. He set up a sleep lab there using students as researchers.
It was real easy then to train some of the nerds to run sleep recordings, and there was space in the basement, so we just set up a sleep lab, and kids did projects, and some of the projects turned out to be very important.
One of those projects was me. For Thanksgiving holiday in 1970, I went to visit a friend who lived in Cedro. I got wired up for the night, and other students woke me to ask about my dreams. The idea that you could tell what someone's brain was doing just by watching some wiggling pens on a piece of paper captivated me. A family friend introduced me to Howie Rofwarg, and Howie let me work in his sleep lab when I went home to New York for summer vacations. I wrote my undergraduate thesis on sleep. Ultimately, I applied to graduate school in sleep research to join the ranks of the great sleep researchers of the world. I was going to find out what REM sleep was really for. I was particularly anxious to work with a scientist named Ralph Berger. Ralph had written some provocative papers about the function of sleep, so I applied to the University of California at Santa Cruz, where Ralph was on the faculty. Recently, I asked Ralph if he was bowled over by the brilliance of my application to grad school.
Well, you know, it's so long ago that I really can't remember. You certainly, you know, fulfilled all the requirements, I know that.
Yes, well, I like working with Ralph because he tended to defy conventional wisdom. For example, take the notion that people dream primarily during REM sleep.
I no longer believe that to be the case. I think dreaming occurs during all stages of sleep, and that we only remember dreams better from REM than non-REM sleep because the physiological state of REM sleep is more like waking.
My work with Ralph involved how people maintain their body temperature during REM. We had subjects sleep in cool rooms, 69 degrees, with no covers. Their brain temperatures dropped during the night, except during REM sleep when brain temperatures went up slightly. I was never quite sure what that signified about REM. Ralph tends to see REM in evolutionary terms. He doesn't believe we need REM because mammals need to dream. He believes REM is something that evolved in reptiles and then just hung around.
Because the part of the brain that controls REM sleep is the brainstem of mammals and birds, which is shared by reptiles.
Perhaps reptiles would dream if they had bigger brains. Most sleep researchers don't share Ralph's point of view. They've come up with many theories about the function of REM sleep. It may be important for memory, it may be important for brain development. Some have even suggested that REM sleep is for keeping the brain warm. Bill Dement says he was at a meeting recently where senior sleep researchers compared notes about the function of REM.
And really, it was the consensus was we don't know. So it may be a little bit of a link to memory, maybe a little bit of a link to mood, but the answer is still we don't know.
As I was finishing grad school in the early 80s, I began to get the feeling we would never know what REM was for, or at least I wasn't going to figure it out. So I left sleep research for the exciting, fast-paced world of journalism, a career that doesn't require you to sit up all night watching others sleep. There was one final coincidence I got to share with Howie Rofwarg just recently about his early research with Bill Dement in that New York apartment building. You remember that apartment at Riverside Drive? I can tell you the address.
I remember everything about it except the address.
It was at 90th and Riverside Drive, and it was 175 Riverside Drive.
That's right.
And you know why I know that?
Why?
That's the building I grew up in.
No kidding. This is all coming around full circle. Joe, you're responsible for contemporary sleep research. That's clear.
He exaggerates, I assure you. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.
Excerpts of Joe Palca's doctoral dissertation are at npr.org.